So in that situation, for the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيُكَفِّرَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَسْوَأَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so when they are brought to him, aswa'al, su means something that is sinful. Aswa means the most sinful. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيُكَفَّرَ عَنْهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove from them, will absorb them from the worst of their sins. This is Allah's generosity for the believers. So, because we'll be scared of those horrible sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reassuring the believers that even the worst of your sins, Allah will absorb. وَيَجْزِيَهُمْ. So the worst ones he is removing, and he will give you jaza, ajrahum بِأَحْسَنِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, by the best of, and Allah will give, reward you by the at the level of the best of your deeds. So you did something that deserved a D grade, something that deserved a C grade, and you did something that deserved an A grade, and you did something that deserved an A plus grade. Allah said, reward him by the A plus, forget about the rest, everything give him A plus. Allahu Akbar. This is Allah's generosity. The worst he is removing, and he is giving you only by the best you did. Suppose you had only one A plus, everything else will be graded as A plus. Allahu Akbar. So that gives people like me hope. That is that now we should sometimes think and reflect on this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to ask me, was in, okay, you tell me which of your deeds I should reward you by. One, what would you choose? Is there something that we could show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? See, Allah, grade me by this. Something to think about. I'm not saying you answer that here, because each one knows. Because it has to be that quality. Plus, there has to be that degree of ikhlas. There has to be that your heart was in it, and you know, were aware of everything. So, but it also tells us that let me try and do something, at least one, by which all my grades will come up. It's like the professor giving you, you know, your grades are mediocre. You said, okay, I'll give you one final exam. Just one question. If you answer it like at an A plus, I'll give you A plus for all yours. I imagine this. Something to think about. I have one, but I'm not sure if it is that. No. Happened many years ago. But I have to look for something better than even more, because I don't know. We never know, because we don't know what kind of ikhlas. But there are certain times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you through challenges. When you become real close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when you do salah at that time, you feel that nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the scenes of those who, inna lillah, I need your connection or a hotspot or something. Yeah, let hold on a second. Because the ayat disappeared. Wi-Fi. One sec.
N-C-H.
It won't connect. The next ayah. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِي مِنْ دُونِهِ وَمَنْ يُدْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا. Is not Allah sufficient for his servant? Here, عَبْدَهُ, that servant is رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay. So this is a very reassuring ayah for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Meccan period. Allah is saying that Allah is sufficient for you. No matter what they do, no matter what they threaten you, whatever their plan, is not Allah? Again, it's a question without being answered. Isn't Allah sufficient for you? And is this only for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No, it's for each one of us. Alaysa, when you are in great distress, you don't know, nothing is going right, everybody is against you. Alaysa Allahu bikafin 'abda. Is not Allah sufficient for his servant? Provided one condition. The servant is a servant of Allah. We are all servants of Allah, but do we act like servants of Allah? Have we submitted to him? If we have, then we have nothing to be scared of. Allah will take care of us and protect us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِي مِن دُونِ. And they scare you with other than Allah. Oh, this God will do this to you, this will happen to you. And this is how they scare you. And today they scare you with other things. You know, we will boycott you, we will put a, you know, whatever they do, you know, we'll drop bombs on you, we'll, what do they do normally?
We'll take away this,
we'll take away that, and we will not let you access to your money, we will not let you, all the threats that are given, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so calls out under the same thing. They used to threaten by Lat, Manat, Uzza, if you do this, this will happen to you. Also at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, what did the father say? Oh, you're going, the people said, you're doing this? The gods will do this. So he said, I'll show you what gods will do. And you know what he did to the gods. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, they scare you by that. And today, people worship different things. They worship money. So they said, we'll deprive you of money. They worship power and weaponry. We won't give you oil, we won't give you this, we won't do you this, we won't do... So all of that, they scare you with that. Min dunihi, other than Allah. And start saying, ittaqallah, fear Allah. Wa man yudlilillahu fama lahu min had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who Allah has allowed to go in dalala, to go astray, okay, who is there who can guide this person? If Allah says this person is permitted to go astray, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot guide him. And we have example of that in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, innaka la yahdi man ahbabta. That indeed you, Rasulullah, cannot guide whom you love. Whoever has been, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided, looked in their hearts, that this person is not to be guided. Now look at Abu Lahab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a whole surah on him, talking about his burning in the hellfire. You know what Abu Lahab did when, and you know Abu Lahab is a paternal uncle, older brother of Abdullah, the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, older brother. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, there was no Abdullah, right? He was born as an orphan. So Abu Lahab was so happy that I have a nephew, and one of his slave women brought him the news. Said, oh my master, you have a new nephew born. He was so happy, he said, I set you free. Abu Lahab did this act. And guess where his end is? Jahannam. But there's also a hadith. This is important for us to remember this. This is in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that every Monday, the punishment of Abu Lahab in Jahannam will be lightened, made easier. Why every Monday? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born on Monday, and he celebrated the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by setting his slave girl free. So Allah says, I will not let that go to waste. Even though you are in Jahannam, little ease for you. Allahu Akbar. Now think of the people who accept the truth and who follow the truth, and who celebrate his life by living like his life, what the rewards would be for people like that. So, here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever goes astray or misguided, there's nobody to guide them. And the opposite, again, because this matches the first one, those who كذب بالصدق, those who deny the truth, make up stories about Allah. Now, and they are the ones who've gone astray. And then we talked about the ones who accepted the truth, صَدَّقَ بِسْرِ وَمَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِمْ مُدِلْ. And the one who Allah has guided, who is there who can make them go astray? This is the protection. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِعَزِيزٍ ذِنْتِقَامٍ. أَلَيْسَ is not. This is the way of Allah. Whenever this comes, it's obvious answer. The answer we say is bala. This is how we respond to this. Anytime alaysa comes, we say bala. Means it is a way of saying yes. Okay. So alaysa Allahu bi azizin dintiqam. Is not Allah al aziz, the one of might and izzah, and the who is all powerful. In other words, he is the one who can make people go here. Make people go here. And then he says, Dhintiqam. One of the names of Allah is what? Al-Muntaqim. The one who takes revenge. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, he is Aziz, means he has the power to take revenge. Then he didn't say Muntaqim. He used Dhintiqam, possessor of the ability to take revenge. What is the difference? He could have said he is the revenger or avenger. He said he has the ability, he possesses. In other words, he is still giving chance to those disbelievers that Allah can take. And if you turn around now, he will not take revenge for this.
وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ قُلْ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنْ أَرَادَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ هَلْ هُنَّ كَاشِفَاتُ الضُّرِّهِ أَوْ أَرَادَنِي بِرَحْمَةٍ هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ رَحْمَتِهِ قُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ يَتَوَكَّلُ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ
وَلَئِنْ And if you, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, سَأَلْتَهُمْ Ask them, مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ Ask the kuffar, who created the heavens and the earth? The Quraysh and the people. لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهُ They will certainly indeed say Allah. Because the kuffar of Makkah believed in Allah. They were not the atheists. So they said, Allah created, Allah provides, all of that. Yet they had all these partners, associations, that there are goddess, gods and goddesses and sons and daughters to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out that they believe in Him. قُلْ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ Then, أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ Do you not see مَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ That those whom you call other than Allah, إِنْ أَرَادِيَنَ اللَّهُ بِالدُّرِّنْ هَلْ هُنَّ كَاشِفَاتُ الدُّرِّهِ Which of those other than Allah that you call, if Allah was to put some harm on you, which of them can remove it? The answer again is none. And then said, أَوْ أَرَادَنِي بِرَحْمَةٍ هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ رَحْمَتِي And if Allah were to send some blessing, some rahmah on you, who among them that you worship could stop it? Then, it's an obvious thing. You believe He is the creator of everything and you know that these things have no power. Then what is the logic behind worshipping these things? قُلْ Say to them, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ Allah is sufficient. You don't need to put partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَيْهِ يَتَوَكَّلُ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ So on Him, the mutawakkilun, the people who put their trust, should put their trust. We should put our trust, complete trust in Allah. Mutawakkil. Like wakil. You know what a wakil is? Somebody who represents you. Who you give everything to. Here's everything about me. Now you go and represent me in the best way. So we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the stations of tawakkul. To have full trust that Allah will do for me is, first of all, hasbi Allah. Allah is sufficient for me. Alayhi sallahu bi kafin abida. Same thing. Is not Allah sufficient for you? So therefore we put our full trust. We do what Allah commands us to do, and after that we put our trust in Allah. Okay. From the seerah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows he is protected by Allah. He is making the hijrah. Instead of going north, he goes south. And he and Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, they hide in a cave. Why are they hiding? They're taking their precautions so that the enemies who are out to kill them do not see them. But are they depending on the fact, oh, we've hidden in such a cave, nobody will find us? No. So what happens? Just to prove that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends those people who are out to kill him right at the mouth of the Ghar al-Thawr. Now what happens? Two people are there. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is not worried about his life. He's worried about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the message. He is the messenger. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, if they look down, they will see us. So in his heart, there is that human concern. Not that he doesn't have tawakkul. So he is reminded by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, and what do you think, Abu Bakr, about two? The third of whom is Allah. That's what he said. What do you think of two whose third is Allah? In other words, tawakkul on Allah. Even if they look down, they may not see us. Even if they look down and they see us, Allah will still protect us. This is tawakkul. That you take your precautions, you do what you're supposed to do, and then we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every aspect of our lives. So tawakkul is something we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because tawakkul obviously implies a certain level of iman. That I have to know Allah. That Allah is in charge of everything. He is Al-Aziz. He is the one with complete control. Kulli shay, above everything. He is Qadir on everything. He can change the hearts of an enemy like that, just like this. Okay. To the point, remember, in one of the ghazawat, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions were resting, because it was a very hot day, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found rest under a tree, and he took off his sword and he hung it on it. And everybody fell asleep. And one of the kuffar, one of the enemies, came and he saw this, the golden opportunity. He said, not only is he asleep, his sword is hanging here. So he takes the sword of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, puts it on the noble neck of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Ya Muhammad, who is going to save you from me now? So imagine you're fast asleep and you hear something sticks you in your neck and you wake up. First of all, when we wake up, we're sort of disoriented. But look at this. The moment he said this, Rasulullah sallallahu looks at him without thinking, how am I going to save myself? Where are the others? Who is going to get to him? Should I go left? Should I go right? He says, Allah. That was the answer. Who is going to save you? Allah. Just that projection of Allah, this person fell backwards and the sword fell out of his hand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up, picked up the sword and put it on his neck and said, and who is going to save you from me today? He said, you are the most generous. We have kinship. We come from the same Quraysh youth. He said, you promise you accept Islam. He said, no, I will not accept Islam. He said, then you promise you will never fight against Muslims. I promise. You are free to go. This is the generosity. So this is tawakkul. Alaysallahu bi kafin abda. Is not Allah sufficient for you? Okay. Now I just think about this scene. Sometimes I think, I said, how horrible the Sahaba must have felt. That we fell asleep and we exposed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such a danger. How must they have felt about it? Because the love that they had for him. Because they would love to give their lives for him. Yeah. We can give our lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we can give our lives to protect his sunnah. This is the closest we are going to come. So don't ever treat something of his sunnah lightly by saying, oh, it's not fard. Just saying it's not fard is enough of an insult. Okay. Take the azima. This is the sunnah of Allah's best creation. The one that Allah loves. Everything about him, Allah loves. So how can it be light?